I'm James O'Keefe, and this is Vouching for Seven Other Muslims at a Minneapolis Polling Booth.
We're going in to this location, and I'm going to say that I'm vouching for them. The name is William Pomerantz.
The question about the vouching program, vouching, I can vouch for them, but they are not registered. That's okay, that's fine. Can I bring five more from
up to eight
people? Okay, that's a good thing. We go back and we get Krishna and Ernesto and Mohammed.
In Minnesota, you can show up on election day and vouch for up to eight unregistered voters. Members of the Justice League dress up in traditional Muslim attire, including a transgender wearing a burqa, and put this vouching law to an extreme test on primary day, August 11th.
Gonna be a baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
The vouching?
Vouching for?
I vouch for them.
Oh, great.
Is that okay?
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, if you're all in the same precinct,
yes.
And you are already registered, which it looks like you are, then you can vouch for them as ID for them.
Oh, good.
She says to me, I say, they do not need ID. She says, you are the ID.
He is the ID.
See, I am the ID.
And no ID needed. I just vouch for them.
Well, you're the ID.
I am the ID. It's good. How many people may I vouch for?
Eight.
I
thought it was six.
I can vouch for eight people.
Mm-hmm.
Eight people, no ID. We come right back. Thank you.
Most poll workers we visited were willing to let us vouch with no questions asked, even when presented with the most absurd situation imaginable. While other poll workers did take issue with our investigation, revealing their awareness that something about this vouching system is deeply flawed or wrong, yet for some reason, they don't want us to expose it.
I can't have her see me.
In Minnesota, voters can vouch for up to eight of their unregistered friends. At the polling place, a registered voter from the same precinct signs an oath confirming that they personally know the voter lives there. This allows someone without ID to register and vote. And employees of residential facilities may vouch for an unlimited number of facility residents to vote at the facility's address. That's right, an unlimited number. While proponents emphasize that the policy expands ballot access for recent movers and senior citizens, critics view it as a potential for fraud. For example, if a voucher were to lie on this contract and allow eight of his ineligible friends to vote, and the results of that election are announced on the same day, what happens when the oath is further investigated and it is discovered that those vouched for votes shouldn't have been counted? The results of the election will have already been announced and enacted by that point. This document shows that the election workers simply circle a number of the vouchees. There's no other identifying information. And Scott Pressler from the organization Early Vote Action says there is no list of these vouchee voters anywhere. When he requested them from areas like Duluth, St. Paul, Minneapolis, and St. Cloud, Minnesota, Pressler says they are nameless, faceless, and recordless. So we dressed in full traditional Muslim attire and went in to ask if we can vouch for eight of our unregistered friends, just to test the limits of this law and the willingness of election judges to go along with it. Only Muslim women traditionally wear the full face covering. So Cam Higby was in disguise as my transgender Muslim wife.
So he's wearing a niqab, so basically he's not supposed to shake hands with a man. So what he does is once a man tries to shake hands, he has to do it.
Yeah, he's sitting in bed with, say these are
ribs
right here.
Oh, yeah, I don't
shake hands.
You're going to be the female? Am I the voucher?
You're the voucher. We're the vouchers.
So
we're
I'm quiet. William Pomerantz.
I am William Pomerantz. This is my...
That's great.
I vouch for people.
Yes, great.
I vouch for people.
For
the vouching system.
Four.
I have eight people come from my apartment. This is going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be great.
We're going in to this location, and I'm going to say that I'm vouching for them. The name is William Pomerantz. I'm voting. I'm talking about the vouching program. Yeah? Okay, here we go.
The latest from James O'Keefe, O'Keefe Media Group. Caught inside Minneapolis polling booths, Minnesota poll workers tell O'Keefe, dressed as a Muslim in Muslim garb and Cam Higby in a burqa, that they can vouch for up to eight unregistered voters with no ID. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
All right, welcome back, folks. I would love to move on from Israel. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to do that. It's one of those things. I can either not talk about Israel or like everything's about Israel. There's no middle ground. Because every day I don't talk about Israel, just know. There are topics I'm just not covering that day because there's other stuff going on. But here's the article I was referencing earlier. Israeli army surrounds last Christian town in West Bank. Teba has been declared a closed military zone by the IDF after months of attacks by Israeli settlers. Teba, close to Ramallah, has been declared a closed military zone after months of repeated attacks by Israeli settlers. The Telegraph previously reported that settlers used arson to intimidate the town's Christian inhabitants, fanning the flames with leaf blowers. Some of Teba's churches date from the 5th century, but the town is increasingly surrounded by illegal outposts made by Israeli settlers. The IDF's order declaring the area a closed military zone applies to Israelis and foreigners rather than Palestinians. However, such orders have been used elsewhere to prevent journalists and international monitors from approaching an area which is under attack by settlers, often while the IDF and Israeli police failed to remove the settlers or dismantle their structures. Father Bashir Fawadleh, a parish priest of Christ the Redeemer Church in Teba, said the declaration of Teba as a closed military zone for non-resident Israelis may be a positive step if it's genuinely and consistently enforced to prevent settlers from entering our lands and carrying out further attacks. What matters to us, however, is not the announcement itself, but what happens on the ground in the coming days and weeks. For months, our community has experienced repeated incursions into private and agricultural lands, intimidation of family and workers, fires, armed presence, and the entry of settlers and their livestock into private property and attempts to establish a permanent presence around the village. These incidents have created fear and are threatening the normal life and future of our Christian community. And I could go on and on, but just know who's getting the hammer to the face these days. You got to wonder about some of this stuff. Again, the other headline from today, a couple of them. Iran has threatened Syria with consequences if it invades Lebanon. So it appears as though Trump was sincere in trying to get Syrian army to be the boots on the ground in fighting Hezbollah. Here we're just seeing compilations of Israeli settlers beating up old women, assaulting men. I mean, again, we could do the whole show, just nothing but the insane, psychotic, homicidal behavior of the settlers. Any attempt to by Syria to oppose Lebanese Hezbollah will lead to a full-scale conflict on Syrian territory. Damascus received a corresponding warning from Tehran, meaning that Iran is now basically projecting its power in the region in a way that it really hasn't before. It's not only not been cowed and defeated by America's attacks against it, it is instead basically doing what Israel had been doing for a while. It's now engaged in these proxy conflicts in a full-fledged way, which, hey, it's good for them. It's good for them. Then we have this headline, which may have a lot to do with everything, but is also kind of stunning. If you've been watching Tucker Carlson's videos recently. He has a lot of questions about Donald Trump's spirituality. He talks about the fact that Trump didn't touch the Bible. And he points out that when Trump doesn't touch the Bible, that's not showing a lack of, you know, concern for the Christian element of America. It shows you that you believe in it and are opposed to it. To paraphrase Tucker Carlson, he's basically like, well, if you are just an atheist, then why wouldn't you put your book? Why wouldn't you put your hand on the Bible? It's just a book. If you don't believe in God, you don't believe that there's higher spiritual power, then there's no problem putting your hand on a Bible. Might feel dishonest, but doesn't really matter, right? I mean, you're an atheist. You don't. It's not like you're offending God. He doesn't exist, right? And then maybe refusing to put your hand on the Bible was on purpose, maybe as a deliberate act, not because he doesn't believe in God, but because he doesn't believe in Christianity. That's the supposition anyway, and that's what Tucker Carlson's been talking about recently. And then Marla Maple, Donald Trump's ex-wife, just gave an interview to IsraeliNationalNews.com. Marla Maple says Trump carries a Zohar over his heart for protection. Donald Trump's ex-wife says the president carries an Aramaic copy of the Zohar close to his heart while sharing details about his spiritual side and her own connections to Jerusalem, Israel, and Shabbat. So Donald Trump says he, the president carries a copy of the Zohar with him, keeping it close to his heart for protection and healing. Maple says Trump carries the Book of Pinchas, the Zohar, which spelled a different way, looks an awful lot like the word penis. I'm just saying, Trump's carrying around a penis book close to his heart. Apparently he's not spiritual. He might just be Jewish. At least that's the conclusion a lot of people are coming to. And we put a lot of his actions in a very, very different context, I believe, personally. So that's from the Israeli National News. And this just came across my desk, just broke, which I don't know what exactly this means. Just like before October 7th, Gaza border surveillance troops say they're seeing terror activity. Kushner and Mladenov to visit Israel next week to lean on Netanyahu to restore halt on strikes, adhere to humanitarian commitments, and bid to advance Hamas disarmament, sources say. Surveillance soldiers on the Gaza border were reportedly sounding the alarm on Thursday about armed terrorist activity inside the Gaza Strip, and what they said feels like a repeat of their unheeded warnings before the October 7th, 2023 onslaught. Leading up to that Hamas-led invasion and massacre, the surveillance soldiers sent alerts about terrorist training for the attack and were infamously ignored. Some of the surveillance soldiers, who were women, said sexism was a factor in their warnings being brushed aside. I'm sure. So, I mean, it just sounds like, I don't know, I don't really just believe this, quite frankly. I mean, maybe it's true, but right now the big controversy is that Donald Trump is trying, he put forward this 15-point peace plan that Netanyahu rejected, and the main objection from Netanyahu was that he wanted Hamas totally disarmed. So it seems like this might be a media fabrication to make it look like you need to disarm Hamas, because that's what Israel is using as its excuse to not bring the Gaza conflict to a close. In other words, they don't actually care about Hamas being disarmed, really. At the end of the day, they just want Gaza. And the idea is that you could have peace in the conflict, and you could go back to some form of status quo if Hamas is disarmed and, you know, agree to not fight Israel, then maybe you could have, you know, return to some sort of proto two-state solution type thing. I don't know. But regardless, that's just not what Israel wants. They just want to kill everybody or expel everybody in Gaza. They can't say that so explicitly all the time. So instead, they come up with this excuse about Hamas. You know, they're too dangerous. They, you know, they won't be disarmed. Even if we disarm them, they won't actually be disarmed. And now you have headlines about how they're, oh, they're getting ready for another October 7th. I just don't buy it. I just don't believe you. This is not true. Let's go now to clip number 26. This is a strange view into the corporate control structure that actually runs the world. I think, again, people need to really understand about the New World Order is it's already here. It already exist to a very large degree. And it essentially just means rule by corporations, rule by individuals who nobody's voted for, who haven't earned their place through meritocracy. People like the Kushner boys, right? Who somehow are buying the Lakers and leading negotiations on behalf of America, despite the fact that they come from a family of criminals and, I don't know, apparently we're just born into this, you know, like aristocracy. But it's a corporate power structure where the decisions actually being made are being made by CEOs, directors, people like Larry Fink, Klaus Schwab. They never have to appeal to the people. They never have to present plans. They never have to put their leadership up to a vote, determine whether they remain. They remain as long as the stockholders are happy, and the stockholders are their good friends who are the heads of the banks and the BlackRocks and the big corporations. So it's a bunch of very interconnected, it's a very small group, friends and family that simply run our world. And we're learning this by necessity. Let's go to clip number 26 here. As Glenn Greenwald puts it, the billionaire Israeli-American Oracle executive, Safra Katz, the woman you're about to see, boasts that her proudest moment is when she provided the IDF with Oracle's scary technology to use against Palestinians in Gaza. Let's watch.
You hit our website in an Arab country, and you saw your entire screen filled with an Israeli flag, which said, not only we stand with Israel, we stand with our employees in Israel, we stand with the people of Israel, we stand with the military establishment of Israel. There's a few things that we did that I really can't talk about, to be honest, because to advance the agenda for the Israeli military. But our teams did a lot. We have some really profoundly scary technology at Oracle, and we wanted to make sure that it was available for the effort. Let's just say that.
Okay.
I was in the Kiryat, and I go in and I meet with everyone you'd imagine I meet with. And on my way out, I run into, I don't know, five of my team who are all in uniform working. And to be honest with you, it's like my proudest moment.
So, you know, obviously Oracle's founder, Larry Ellison, his son is the one who now owns CBS News and is basically in the works to own Paramount Production Company and WB and CNN and the Discovery Channel and basically all a huge swath of television and entertainment media in America. That's Ellison's son. Ellison himself, of course, running Oracle, an outgrowth of NQTEL and the CIA, just like Palantir. So you've got like Palantir and Oracle and Flock and all of these corporate organizations, which originally got founded by and whose primary customer was the American intelligence community. They're all run by dedicated Jewish Zionists who will routinely and regularly profess their ultimate loyalty being to Israel and the Jewish people rather than America. Yet they own our media and own our these intelligence, very scary applications for use on the battlefield. Oracle allegedly suppresses pro-Palestinian voices and cuts charity support amid TikTok takeover bid. And you know, I mean, you can find videos of, you know, Larry Ellison being asked about Israel, and he's just like, I'm the number one donator to the IDF, and, you know, I'm just sad I couldn't be in uniform myself. I mean, you know, the man is a dedicated patriot for Israel, and he owns Oracle. It's just like, you know, Alex Karp, head of Palantir, dedicated patriot for Israel. And, of course, they all are gleeful. They're so happy. I mean, she said it's her proudest moment, seeing a bunch of IDF soldiers using Oracle to slaughter Palestinians, the proudest moment of her life. That's the people who run the companies that are at this moment building the surveillance grid to enslave America. I have a problem with this. I have a very big problem with this. I guess that makes me an anti-Semite, I guess. I guess if I don't want a single family who routinely pledges loyalty to a foreign country having this outsized, unmediated, contested control over these extremely powerful and increasingly prominent AI robot killing drone squads. Larry Ellison is the IDF's most prodigious private financier. U.S. taxpayer dollars don't begin to cover the cost, apparently. Record $53.8 million raised for Israeli soldiers at Beverly Hills Gala. Oracle's Larry Ellison provided the single largest gift, a record $16.6 million. Guy who runs Oracle. Oracle, by the way, who's been through like five or six rounds of layoffs and is gearing up for their next series of layoffs as they both offshore their American talent and replace them with AI. Additionally, the interview touched on the international criticism of Israel's military operations in the 2014 Gaza War. Ellison acknowledged the complexity of conducting operations near civilians, but defended the Israeli occupation forces' efforts to minimize civilian casualties. There were tragic tragedies. That's a terrible thing. But one thing we know for certain is that the Israeli army did everything they could to minimize civilian casualties. They've done a much better job of that than all the other armies all over the world throughout history, he said. I mean, does he believe it? Oh, and he's in the running to own TikTok, which, of course, we got them to sell because Israel didn't like that we were allowing people to show their genocide on TikTok. So, of course, we, America, had to allow China to send us 600,000 Chinese students, simultaneously flooding our country with foreign spies, taking the spots that could be filled with Americans, and providing an incredible boost to the anti-American, anti-white universities that have been seeding the philosophy of our destruction for the last several decades. So we had to benefit the hostile leftist psychopaths in universities. We had to benefit China. We had to utterly disadvantage Americans and open up our universities to all of these foreign spies. But it was all worth it because now Larry Ellison gets to own TikTok. And Israel won't have to have evidence of its crimes displayed to everybody all the time. So that was the deal that we made. You know, there's a tweet that like sticks in my mind. That was somebody going, you know, whenever somebody's like, oh, all you talk about is Israel, you talk about it too much. That would be like telling somebody in the USSR, gee, all you talk about is the communists. It's like, well, they're the ones in charge, right? They're the ones doing all of this. I'm against all of this. So I have to talk about them doing it. If they weren't doing it, I wouldn't have to talk about it. If anybody else was doing it, that's what I'd be talking about. But it's not anybody else, and they are doing it. So I do have to talk about it, and it happens to be them. I wish I didn't have to talk about it because I wish they didn't have the power that they have, and I wish they weren't using the power that they have in the way that they are. Unfortunately, that's the decision that they made. Larry Ellison, Oracle, all these people, Alex Karp, all of them. I mean, clearly these people are the most powerful people in the world. They have inordinate control and mastery over huge portions of our lives and our course as a nation. And they use it exclusively to benefit their own people, often foreign states. And they seem to not just have it's not like they just don't like America or like don't care about Americans. They seem to have an active antipathy towards Americans or all Western Christian people. That's bad. I don't like that. But it's a choice they made. Again, I have this suggestion to people out there, you know, if you're so worried about Israel's popularity or lack thereof and the danger that represents, have you tried not being terrible people directly contributing to the downfall of our entire society? Has that occurred to you yet? Have you thought about perhaps pursuing that strategy rather than paying hundreds of millions of dollars to try to trick people through propaganda into shutting up about all the bad crap you're doing? What if you stop doing the bad crap, start being a benefit to the people of America, and then the people of America will see you as a benefit? Isn't that amazing how that works? That's how it was for the last 50 or 60 years in America. Jews didn't have a lot of problems here because their contributions to American society were seen as beneficial and good and in support of our shared collective ultimate goals, prosperity and openness and safety. That's why the Jews that were rescued by America from the Nazis, they wrote It's a Wonderful Life, right? It's like the Jews that actually saw how good America was for Jews, people coming from Europe, where in some cases there is a baked-in anti-Semitism historically, didn't exist in America. And so the Jews that were saved by America from the Nazis had a genuine love and appreciation for America and celebrated it and helped us build up and be who we are today. The current crop seems to have forgotten that lesson and are doing everything they possibly can to try to make America an unfriendly place for Jews because it benefits them, because they are trying to collapse the Western world to consolidate power in Israel as the capital of the global government. I mean, you know, Jared Kushner gave an interview after leaving the Trump administration the first time around. So in like 2020, Kushner gave an interview where he said, not in a joking manner, very serious and sort of underreported claim, Jared Kushner said, I'm the first generation that will not die. Jared Kushner himself said he thinks he's going to live forever. The co-founder of Napster, whatever that guy's name, said exactly the same type of thing. He said, I'm a billionaire. I'm going to live till I'm 145. They're setting up a control system because they think they're going to live forever. And that's not possible in the current paradigm. Jared Kushner believes he might live forever. No, he's telling you that billionaires already have the technology. It's in the testing phase. But it's in reality actually being tested on humans. They're testing it on themselves, and they've reversed aging. And they can't have everybody live forever. That's unsustainable. It doesn't work. Here's the exact quote. I think that there's a good probability that my generation, hopefully with the advances in science, is either the first generation to live forever, or the last generation that's going to die. So I'm just saying, folks, when you're talking about the families really that run our world, because it is a family affair, just like how Larry Ellison's son is the one running all of this, or Tony Blair's son is the one with the contract to do digital ID. These families, they genuinely think that they're going to live forever. Jared Kushner believes that he's never going to die. So he is engaged in a strategy to try to establish a one world government, corporate in nature, headquartered in Israel, where he and his family and the Ellisons and their family, they'll live forever, not be subject to any laws, have total control of the course of humanity, and anybody who resists them will be destroyed by the digital panopticon that attempts to oppose them. So this is not sci-fi. This is not fantasy. This is not a prediction of something that might happen in the future. This is something that's happening right now. We are living through it. They are building up the brave new world. They are establishing the control grid. So they want to live forever, and they're consolidating ownership of all these corporate power structures into their hands, just like how former head of the Mossad just got appointed as the head of the big corporation, consolidating all of the other robotic warfighting capabilities into one corporation. It's all part of a big plan.
Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we'll send you some methylene blue. And if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented two proprietary products. Gavin, I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Roja, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone, raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks, and ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. people just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically, that Power Plant formula. If you're looking for something like Super Meal Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle, along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric. We've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. You got the T3 Trifecta Iodine, an absolute staple of the old network. You've got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the Bovine Beef Tallow. It's got the Methylene Blue inside the tallow, incredible antioxidant, Methylene Blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the Zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit Complex, we've even got smelling salts. Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top-rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the Ultimate Power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, the shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins memorabilia that we have. Literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta.
Weeks and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, folks, welcome back. Final segment of the War Room. I got a lot of videos I need to show you. So we're going to go to those here momentarily. I do want to remind you, folks, there's a special offer on at thealexjonesstore.com. If you order products worth over $100, you get a free cooler. And this offer ends in just 2 days. Spend $100 or more and you'll get a free cooler with your order from thealexjonesstore.com. And trust me, folks, you are going to want this cooler. If you've been watching us for a long time, you're going to see it and immediately know why. It's one of the things that longtime listeners and supporters are going to absolutely love. So stock up now, whether on your supplements, the hats, the t-shirts. You know, these are, a lot of them are limited time editions. They're limited editions. You're going to want to get the shirt or hat design that you like now because it might not be there forever. Stock up, spend over $100, and you get the very cool cooler, absolutely free. That's just one of the many offers on, you know, offer right now at thealexjonesstore.com. including the crossover event. Still 2 days left to take advantage of that, where every week we, or every month or whenever it is, we give away one car. But once a month, there's a week where you could win both cars, which means anything you buy this week or for the next 2 days, you're going to get twice the entries to potentially win both cars and $20,000. All you have to do is make a purchase today at thealexjonesstore.com. For every $100 you spend, you get 10,000 entries to win either the 2026 Ram Laramie 2500 or the 2026 Ford Super Duty F-250. That offer ends August 14th. That's tomorrow. So really only have 1 day and then tomorrow, like the rest of the day to today and then tomorrow, Friday, to both get the free cooler with all $100 or above purchases, as well as the 2x entries to win both trucks and $20,000. Somebody's got to win it. Might as well be you. All you got to do is go to thealexjonesstore.com. Let's start with this, because this is one of those things. So we've been reporting on, it's happened to many villages, but a specific village in the UK called Piddington, I believe, something like that. And it's a town of 300 to 500 residents, and they are slated to receive over 1,000 migrants in this little town. 1,250, to be exact. The people are not happy about this. And we showed a clip from a few months ago in one of the council meetings there, where a resident asked, how do you intend to deal with the sexual needs of 1,250 adult males that you're bringing here? And the whole thing was kind of loud. Well, we don't intend on doing anything. But we pointed out at the time, no, that's a valid question. That's a very valid question. Really, what it boils down to is they're bringing these people in to breed. They're bringing in a bunch of men who have probably only come in no small part because they've heard, and it's been established for a decade now, that white girls are easy meat, and that they can't really fight back without their own government cracking down on them. So when you're bringing these men in, these are not monks. They're not soldiers in a submarine, right? They're not people who are going to, you know, suppress their sexual urges for any professional or you know, militaristic person. They're there to breed. It's a very valid question. Of course, the answer is they should never be there. They should never be put there. There is no satisfying the sexual need of 1,000 Muslim men without 1,000 Muslim women brought along with them. But they left their wives and children at home because they want to find new ones here. So this is not a small thing, but, you know, lucky for the people of this small town, who of course didn't want the Muslims dropped off and tried to secede from the UK in order to avoid this happening. But it doesn't matter what the people who live there want. The powers that be are engaged in a genocide against them. It's an attack. So the attack continues because the UK, the people of the UK are being attacked, and their only response seems to be hold marches. And the people in power are not convinced by marches. They are perfectly aware of how much you don't like this. They're doing it anyway. So you expressing that you don't like it doesn't actually matter to them. They know. They're perfectly aware. That's why they're doing it. But luckily, we have a former conservative minister named Edwina Currie. She is suggesting a new policy to deal with the potential for sexual violence from all of these hostile foreigners being planted in and around small towns in the UK. We can go to clip number 3 here. Here's her brilliant idea.
The obvious thing that 1,200 young men are going to need in the middle of a village like Little Piddington is a brothel. I don't think they're going to provide that. I have a feeling that's not going to be allowed.
Yeah, you need to provide them a brothel. And it's times like this that's worth remembering who the patron saint of England is. You know, you've got the flag of the British Empire. That's a combination of a couple of different flags. The main one, the flag of England, is the white banner with the red cross. It's the cross of St. George. St. George, of course, story of his miraculous fight against the dragon was that there was a dragon, a monster, and the people of the town were forced to deliver virgins for the monster. George, St. George, decided instead of satiating the lustful appetite of the beast, why don't you jam a spear in its eye? Why don't you cut its head off with a sword? Why don't you trample it underfoot and crush it beneath your heel? Why don't you do that instead? I feel like that's a good lesson for right now. When the goblin shrew is suggesting that you simply appease the dragon by delivering the virgin sex objects for its pleasure, how about instead you kill it? How about you slaughter the dragon? How about you stab it in the eye and drive it away? And keep your virgins and your young women safe and to yourself. Why don't you do that instead? They're actually suggesting establishing a brothel to service the army of men that are conquering England, the Muslim African foreigners that are being delivered by the NGOs to your backyard. Which, and remember, this is also a policy. If you remember, this has been a plan. They were like, we're going to diversify the countryside. They essentially saw what had happened in English cities, you know, the chaos and the crime and the rape gangs. And they looked at the still idyllic English countryside and decided this needs to be here too. It's not like they're out of room in the cities. Is that this is a deliberate government policy. They had plenty of places to put these people. If they had to put them somewhere, they don't. They could just send them back, but they won't do that. But if they have to put them somewhere in England, they could put them lots of places. They are deliberately planting them in order to destroy the English countryside in its character. The character it's developed over literally thousands of years of the same occupants building a garden that they live in. That's being handed over to hostile foreigners, and I guess your children will have to service in their brothels because some Jewish lady says so. She is Jewish, by the way. I looked it up. I think it's worth noting that. It was a bias I myself had to overcome because, like early on in my career, you might say, I realized I was expressing a hypocrisy when I'd sit there and say, these Muslims are raping women in Europe. But I was scared to say the Jews are running the NGOs, letting the Muslims in to rape the women in Europe. And I realize I'm being a hypocrite here. If I'm willing to say it's Muslims doing this, and it is, why would I not be willing to say it's Jews doing this if it is? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't like being a hypocrite. So I feel like fair is fair. And as long as we're willing to point out the racial or religious ethnicity of the people doing it. Oh, this is happening right now. The Stop Muslim Hate event in Austin. Darn it, we're missing it. Ah, shoot. Shoot, we could have done our part to stop Muslim hate. It's not hate, it's defense. We're simply playing defense. So I'm going to play two more videos here. First is from Michelle Maxwell. This is a man standing up against data centers. Says, this is interesting. I would definitely like to hear more from this man. I want to see both sides of the issue. Does anyone know him or seen more videos like him? I suppose his name is Doug Sevi, reportedly, talking to Iowa officials about the Google data center and how much water they require. Let's go now to clip number 13. We see this, again, regularly people standing up against data centers in their area. Let's watch.
My name is Doug Sevi. I live at 3392 64th Street, Palo, Iowa. I've called the mayor and suggested that I get put on some kind of a committee because I'm Palo's resident expert. I build data centers. I own data centers. I built the first private data center in the state of Iowa. And everything that Google is telling you is BS. I have a data center right now that's running in Hiawatha, and I have been there 14 years and have never used 1 gallon of water. What Google isn't telling you is they don't want to use the technology because it costs more. They're going to burn through the water, and when it's done, and they don't care. Then they'll put the money in. And so I can guarantee you, if you guys want to start a committee, I'll volunteer because I'm the expert. I build it. I'm working on one right now. I'm working on one in Milwaukee. I live here. And if my well, I told you on the phone, I called you and talked to you. And I said, you should really help, let me help you. I never heard anything back. And I warned you. I said, my well goes dry. I'm coming after you because I know what's going on. And you can't do this. You guys have to say no water. They don't have to have it. I mean, to give you an idea, you people, how many people in here have heard of Unity Point Health? Okay? All right? I have 100% of their IT in my data center, and I've never used a gallon of water. And I'm the most efficient data center in the world. So this is all crap, and you guys don't want to listen. In fact, you know, I called you and said, maybe we should talk. Never heard back from you. So if you guys want to put a committee together, you can call me. I'll tell you the truth, and I can explain everything to you, how this works, because they're lying to you. Big time. There's absolutely no reason to use a gallon of water. And the same thing on the efficiency of the electricity. They're doing the cheapest way they can. All they want to do is get the gravy, and when it turns to, they're gone. Google is not our friend. So anybody wants to talk to me, I'll sit over here afterwards, and I'll explain it to you. So if you would like, I would be more than happy to be on your committee to work on this because I am the expert. I build them. I know. Thanks.
So that's totally fascinating. So there's a guy who makes data centers, runs them, says he never used a gallon of water, basically pointing out that the water cooling systems that they're using that take the millions of gallons of water that are literally draining lakes dry are totally unnecessary. It's just more expensive to do it without the water. They just want to save money. So they're using all of the potable drinking water to cool things, even though they're spending literally billions of dollars and have potentially trillions of dollars since they're being funded in part by the U.S. military, but they're using the water on purpose. I don't think it's a side effect. I think it's a primary purpose. I think there are lots of ways that they could build the data centers that could use less water, use less land, be less intrusive. I think they're doing it on purpose. Just like I think the shutdown of the Strait of Hormuz was not something unexpected. It's not something that they were trying to avoid. I think the Iran war, just like the war in Ukraine, is a part of a wider world war to deliberately shut down our productive capacity in order to eradicate huge numbers of people from the earth. I don't think it's a side effect, just like I don't think it's a side effect or an unfortunate consequence that the data centers are sucking up all the water. I don't think they have to, and they're doing it on purpose because it's all part of a wider plan to literally deny every human being on the planet access to natural resources. But that's just me, and I think it's true. And a lot of the things that I speculate tend to be reflected later by other people. This is another case of that. We're going to close out the show today with a couple minutes of the latest interview with Tucker Carlson. He published this yesterday on his YouTube channel called Ben Shapiro to America, Shut Up and Eat Your Goy Slop. First half is a monologue by him that's absolute must watch, and I suggest you go watch it. But I thought the really interesting part was in his interview with Catherine Austin Fitz. This part starts about an hour in and reflects what we've been saying here on the Alex Jones Network for a very long time. So I hope you enjoy it. This is Catherine Austin Fitz with Tucker Carlson talking about the way the powers that be are using debt and financial instruments to systematically close the noose around the neck of free people worldwide. Let's watch.
What do you think the purpose was? Why would any American want to destroy an American community and kill people and enslave them with debt?
So if I want to change the economy and I want to change it from a democratic republic to essentially an oligarchy, then what I need to do is I need to consolidate wealth and I need to reduce the general population to a group of people who are much easier to control. So let me go back. In 1995, there was an effort made by the people who I would describe as leading the financial system to try and put the country on a financially sound basis. And it failed and ended up at the end of 1995 in a 3-week shutdown of the government. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes,
it was during the Clinton administration. And it was described to me by the president of the largest pension fund in the country several years later. He said, "You don't understand. They've given up. They've given up on the country and they're moving all the money out starting in the fall." And that was when the $21 trillion started to go missing, you know, compounded by the $29 trillion that went out on the bailouts. I think what happened was when they failed to achieve a real fiscally responsible approach to the federal balance sheet, that they decided to do two things. One, they decided to do a financial coup in a process where instead of the bankers just running monetary policy, they could then run fiscal policy. And I think the second thing they decided to do is, if you can't balance the budget with financial responsibility, you can balance the budget by lowering life expectancy. So if you can't fund the pension and retirement system with enough money to meet your obligations, you can meet your obligations by lowering life expectancy. And I think a conscious decision was made to do that. That literally, right after the budget deal sort of busted, two decisions were made. One was to approve OxyContin and open the pill mills. The second was all sorts of policies that permitted HUD and other mortgage predatory lending. And that happened right as they also made the decision to do the private prisons, and they kept flooding the neighborhoods with drugs. And if you look at the combination of the pill mills, the predatory lending, narcotics trafficking coming in, again, this is all covered in my online book, you know, it dramatically started to steadily reduce life expectancy, particularly in the lower income groups. And I knew it was coming. One of the reasons I kept talking with everybody about the missing money is I knew that it would hit the middle income groups. It was just a matter of time. And I remember, I always tell the story of talking to Dr. Mark Skidmore, who had worked with me on the missing money. I was sitting in a car in Bolivar, Tennessee. I was doing errands. And he kept saying to me, "Why do you keep bringing up all the money that's going missing from the federal government? Why don't you give up on this?" And I said, "Don't you understand, Mark? If we don't do something about this, they're going to take radical steps of lowering life expectancy." And that was in 2018. And of course, you know, COVID hit in 2020. And what did we get? We got a whole series of actions that continued to lower life expectancy, but this time in the middle and upper middle class groups.
It's so obvious to me that reducing population, either through shortening their lives or preventing them from being born in the first place, I mean, that's official U.S. policy, of course.
Right.
Abortion, euthanasia, drugs. But I've always sort of wondered why. And you think it's because that's the only way to get the country solvent?
So I think it's a combination of things. First of all, you have... again, we have this explosive new technology, and I think you have a lot of people in the leadership who believe, first of all, it's very difficult to manage people, particularly if they get their hands on this technology, but they also believe they're going to live for a long, long time. You know, Jared Kushner, when he left the first Trump administration, did a podcast and said, "I'm the first generation to live forever, the last generation to, you know, not live forever." Sean Parker, one of the co-founders of Facebook, said, I'm a billionaire, so I'm going to live to 145. If the oligarchs are going to live to 145, one of the things they know is not everybody can do that, or you're going to have an environmental problem, right? Right. So part of it is that. But I also think with robotics and automation, they think they don't need a lot of people, and a lot of people are hard to manage.
Yes.
Now, they... you know, they, if you look at what they're doing to build a control grid, clearly they think if they can accomplish that, it's going to make it much easier to manage a lot of people. But frankly, they don't necessarily want them around. They don't need them. And so I do believe that many of them feel they would be much better off with much lower populations.
I think that's obviously true. May I ask, though, about what role a global war would play in that? So, like, on the one hand, obviously, war reduces population. If you wanted to clear the Ukrainians out of Ukraine, leaving only the resources and Indian immigrants, you would do what they are doing. I get it. But once you start pushing up against the possibility of a nuclear exchange, a total war, a global war, then don't you, and which they are doing knowingly, and I don't know if it's reckless or intentional or what exactly it is, but they know that we're moving toward global war and they're not slowing down, the Trump administration and all the people who support it.
Right.
Don't you kind of risk your own plans by doing that? That seems very much like a dice roll.
So there are a couple theories. I think there's some people who, you know, do want to bring on Armageddon. That's a cultural and religious cross section of some of the people involved. But the other thing is, if you've been responsible for the dollar system and you know how dangerous an improper or a difficult unraveling of the dollar system could be for most of the countries around the world, you know how an unraveling could kill and hurt and maim, then you will go to extreme lengths and kill many, many people to avoid that. You know, and part of it is, if you're used to having power, you do not want to convert to a meritocracy. I mean, the way to solve, you know, I just told you the thing you just did on how to save America, I think it's one of the best things you've ever done. And if, in theory, we all woke up tomorrow and followed your 10 principles of, you know, in our own lives, in our own family, in our own community, we could see an unbelievably explosive wealth creation. I mean, one of the things I want to stress is tyranny is very, very wasteful. And the potential for wealth explosion, if we could somehow, you know, behave like we were an advanced civilization, is an extraordinary opportunity. But it's going to result in a meritocracy. And if you look at the people running things, they have no interest in competing in a meritocracy.
Yes.
Because they're going to lose, right?
Yeah.
And the nature of their situation is, you know, when people in their situation lose, they get killed and their families get killed. So you know, they are at the point where they would do control. I remember one group telling me about a group during the 80s when the Iran-Contra was really getting out of hand, talking about they had started to make plans about exploding a suitcase nuke in the middle of Chicago, you know, just to distract. Remember, one of the goals of war is to control the domestic population. And we are now approaching a time where whether you get that, you have a war, or you get the control grid, controlling the domestic population is going to be very difficult.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.